The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, imprint impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and this is looking at two different people under the heading of people. This one, she's a champ. A world-class competitor, skateboarder Judy Oyama, took a 20-year break from racing. She's back, and faster than ever. At 19, I was a professional skateboarder and often the only girl in the race. Women weren't taken seriously in the sport back then. One guy actually told me, "I'll never consider you a pro because you're a female." But that just motivated me more. Then, in the early 80s, most of the skate parks closed because of liability lawsuits. Suddenly, the downhill and slalom races I had been racing dried up. For about 20 years, I stopped competing, worked as a graphic designer, got married, and had kids. When slalom racing started to get popular again in the early 2000s, a guy I knew from the old days encouraged me to race. Slalom is a downhill race on a closed road where you weave between cones. It requires strength, dexterity, and balance. I never thought I would still be skating today, not to mention improving. I'm going faster than I've gone in my whole career, in part because the equipment has gotten better. The hills we're racing are faster and steeper, too. I've turned 65, and I'm racing against teenagers. At the World Skate Games in Italy last year, I came in third among U.S. women overall. Maggie Harrison, a 14-year-old girl I've been mentoring, was just ahead of me. Working out has been key to my longevity as an athlete. Barbell lifting is key for bone density and balance. I deadlift over 200 pounds. I'm helping motivate 40 and 50-year-olds, mountain bikers, and snowboarders. Send me messages that say, "Just saw your video. You made me realize I could keep going." My biggest fear is burdening my kids when I get older. My mother had dementia, and now my father has it. That has motivated me to stay active. I may race against kids now, but I still feel like a kid myself. People ask me whether skateboarding isn't too dangerous at my age, but I figure I could get hurt walking down the stairs. I've tripped over stuff and fallen on pavement. At least when I'm on my board, I have protective gear on. And this story was as told to Greg Siegel. Graphic designer Judy Oyama, 65, of Aptos, California, has won two slalom skateboard world championship titles. And this people person, to boldly go. Welcome aboard the Starship Enterprise. How James Cawley went from Star Trek superfan and professional Elvis Presley impersonator to museum impresario. If anyone had told my 10-year-old self that one day Bill Shatner would be sitting in an exact replica of the Starship Enterprise bridge that I had built, I would have said, "You're crazy." But it's true. The first time Shatner saw my bridge, he stood there, it seemed like forever, and finally said, "Bravo, your proportions, they are perfect." They ought to be. I inherited the blueprints from William Ware Thies, Star Trek's costume designer. I had first contacted Thies when I was in high school in the late 80s and wanted to make my own Captain Kirk uniform. Thies sent me a pattern and fabrics left over from the original series. After, I sent him photos of the finished shirt. He called and hired me to help with costumes for a series then just starting production, Star Trek: The Next Generation. I made sweaters for the Wesley Crusher character and spandex jumpsuits for the background crew. In 1992, when Thies passed, he left me a few things in his will, including those blueprints. At the time, I was working as an Elvis impersonator, touring the country with the Jordanaires. When I'd get a break from touring, I would come home to Ticonderoga, New York, and connect with Star Trek. I built set pieces with my grandfather, who had a workshop in his barn. When the work started to outgrow the barn, I moved the sets to a car dealership I had rented. Collaborating with other Star Trek fans, I produced and shot the first episode of a web series called Star Trek New Voyagers in 2003. The idea was to do the fourth and fifth year of the original series, which had ended after 3 years. I played Kirk. One of our Klingons happened to be the bodyguard for Walter Koenig, who had played Chekhov on TV. That's how we got him to play Chekhov in our next episode. Then Nichelle Nichols, who had played Uhuru, came for an episode. When she arrived on the set, she gasped. Then she just kept saying, "My God, I'm home." In 2014, I moved the set to an abandoned grocery store and arranged with CBS to open the Starship Enterprise as a museum. Bill Shatner leads tours twice a year. His energy level is just incredible. They say, never meet your heroes, but when it comes to Bill Shatner, they couldn't be more wrong. When fans come, they get a history lesson. It was the 1960s, the Cold War, Vietnam, the Watts riots, and here's Star Trek with every race all equals. That's the strength of the show. It's morality. Star Trek teaches us how far we've come and how far we have yet to go. And this was also as told to Greg Siegel. Actor and film producer James Crawley, 57, owns the Star Trek original series set tour attraction in Ticonderoga, New York. Now let's look at how we're fighting for you. AARP takes on brain health. AARP has long been a leader in helping older Americans build healthy habits to support healthy brains. From suggesting lifestyle changes to help reduce the risk of cognitive decline, to tackling the stigma around Alzheimer's disease and other dementias, here's what AARP is doing for you. Staying Sharp. Through our online program, Staying Sharp, you can build healthy habits for your brain based on 6 pillars. Eat right, be social, manage stress, engage your brain, exercise regularly, and get good sleep. Research collaborations with Oregon Health and Science University and Massachusetts General Hospital are reporting exciting results about the impact of lifestyle behaviors among people using Staying Sharp. Much of Staying Sharp, including a monthly cognitive assessment, is available free at AARP.org. AARP members get more. Research Partnership. AARP, the Alzheimer's Disease Data Initiative, and the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington launched the Dementia Risk Reduction Project to identify how air pollution, depression, high blood pressure, and other factors vary by state and how these factors correlate with dementia risk. And AARP's Global Council on Brain Health continues to develop and update reports on topics, including the impact of physical activity, social engagement, and more. A new brain health caregiving documentary, Taking Care, follows filmmaker Lauren Mellon Rogan and actor Seth Rogan as they cared for Lauren's mother, Adele, who had early-onset Alzheimer's disease. AARP helped develop the documentary to inspire people to take care of their brain health and to support caregivers, said Sarah Locke, AARP's Senior Vice President for Policy and Brain Health and executive producer of the film. Hearing and your brain. Hearing loss is a big factor for dementia, and it reduces brain stimulation and can lead to social isolation. AARP makes it easy to evaluate your hearing via the National Hearing Test, a scientifically validated checkup developed with funding from the National Institutes of Health. This simple 10-minute test is free to AARP members and can be done at home on your phone. Learn more about the test and AARP's resources at aarp.org/brain health. Now we're going to take a look at the next article in the Psychology Now. Take control of your mind for a happier, healthier life. And the title of this section is, Can You Keep a Secret? Knowing and keeping secrets can be both a benefit and a burden. So take a moment to think before you share. Your friend leans in and whispers to you, Can you keep a secret? Naturally and almost automatically, you respond with a yes. There's something about the sharing of secrets that feels intimate, connecting you to another person through mutual knowledge. Then there's the thrill of a secret, a small rush of adrenaline that makes you feel good knowing something that others around you don't. However, secrets are tricky things. Whether they're our own or they've been imparted to us by someone else, they can start to get heavy over time and could become an unwanted weight on our minds. It depends on what the secret is, of course. Some secrets are quite trivial, little more than office gossip. Other secrets are intense or overwhelming and can be hard to stop thinking about. Secrets can be both a benefit and a burden. The act of confiding in someone can help bring you closer together from the bonds of friendship or relationship. When it's a happy secret, it can feel joyful and light and special. On the other hand, holding on to others' secrets can be hard as we worry about accidentally spilling it. Even our own secrets, those we don't feel we can tell anyone, can start to preoccupy the mind. Secrets can take over our thoughts and lead to feelings of stress and anxiety. One study, The Benefits and Burdens of Keeping Others' Secrets, says the closer one is to the confider, the more one's mind wanders toward the secret, predicting increased feelings of intimacy, but also burden. The more a secret has overlap with one's own social network, the more one conceals the secret on the other's behalf, predicting increased feelings of burden. The thing is, we all have secrets, whether we want them or not. What makes up a secret is quite personal. Some people hold certain information close to their hearts that others are very open about. Sometimes, whether something is a secret to us or not is informed by our cultural and environmental experiences, our upbringing, and our relationships. Simply, a secret is something that you don't want other people to know. Why, then, do we have the urge to tell our secrets, and why do we have some secrets we'll never unveil? Why do we share secrets? Secrets form a kind of self-protection aura. We have the power to reveal just those things we want to those around us. They can help define us, either by telling them or by omitting them. We might tell more to those closer to us and less to acquaintances or colleagues. Not everything we don't tell freely is a secret. It's an active choice around what information we want to convey. But there are always those things that we don't want everyone around us to know, things that we think about often and might have an impact on ourselves or others. If they are revealed, even then, there's an intrinsic urge to share our secrets, despite the potential outcome. Some of this urge comes from feeling like we just can't hold on to the secret anymore, that it's getting too much to carry and it needs to come out. Telling a secret can feel like a release, a relief from the burden of being the only person who knows something. We also know that there are sometimes consequences to us revealing a secret, which is why, on occasion, we spill our secrets to strangers or people outside our usual social circle. You might chat to your hairdresser during an appointment, for example, or to your Uber driver on a commute. This gives you the relief at having spilt your secret without the consequence of the wrong people finding out. These people don't know us well enough to judge us based on our secrets, and they're unlikely to pass it on when it has little relevance in their own lives. If you're holding on to a lot of secrets, it can start to feel like it is too much for your mental load. This is where secrets can have a negative impact on your quality of life and well-being. It can also be quite isolating to feel in possession of knowledge that you don't feel you can tell others, which again can have an effect on your mental health. In this case, you may need to find someone you can talk freely with. This could be someone already in your life whom you trust, or you could speak to a professional, such as a counselor or a therapist, to talk about those issues you can't share with anyone else. Mum's the word. It's different when you're entrusted with someone else's secret. However, it's not your secret to tell, which means you don't have an outlet if it all gets too much. The only person you can speak to about it is the one who gave you the secret in the first place. This can be particularly hard if the secret would impact someone else in your social circle, and that burden can be difficult to bear. We still feel the same urge to help relieve the pressure of holding on to it, but we also have an obligation to keep quiet. In this case, you could try using a journal or a diary to give you a safe outlet for the secret you're keeping. Occasionally, secrets come out anyway, and you need to face the consequences of that. This might be because you've shared something you shouldn't by accident, or you just couldn't keep it to yourself anymore. While this can lead to feelings of guilt and shame, it's best to be honest with the person who told you the secret in the first place. They'll only find out anyway, and living with the guilt of sharing a secret you shouldn't can be as heavy as the secret itself. Some people are just more prone to secret telling than others. First, we know that secrets can create bonds, so we may use secrets we have to secure a connection with another person. It might just come out in conversation without forethought, while we're trying to get someone's trust or respect or get them to like us. You might regret the action instantly, but it's impossible to put a secret back once it's come out. Some people are just more chatty and open than others, and secrets can come out more frequently, whereas others are naturally quieter and more introverted, therefore less likely to spill a secret. But the toll on them can be greater if they're holding a lot in. Another reason you may tell secrets you shouldn't is because you feel guilty for keeping it in the first place. This can be hard, especially if you're weighing your loyalties. If you know something that will directly impact on someone you love, for example, it can be very difficult not to let something out. Before you start spilling secrets, whether yours or someone else's, take a moment to think about the potential consequences. Are you handing over a burden to someone else who might not want it? How will you feel about someone else knowing one of your deepest secrets? What will happen if you share a friend's secret with someone else, and how will they react? Sometimes all you need is to take a moment and think before you speak. Your gut instinct will drive you in deciding whether to reveal your secrets or keep them locked inside. And next week, we'll look at the sidebar, who to trust with your secrets, and can you keep a secret? Now, back to AARP, the magazine, and we're still under a section, this is 70, finding the right side gig. Retirees looking for part-time work need to answer these five questions. Most weeks, Bob McDowell, who turns 70 in May, spends a few hours a day working as a pickleball instructor around Fort Lauderdale and Miami. It's a flexible way to earn money after retirement. According to a 2024 TransUnion report, more than a third of boomers surveyed said they earned money from one or more gig platforms. While Uber and Airbnb may be among the most high-profile apps for gig workers, there are many others. Almost any specialized skill that you have, there's probably a mini market or an app to facilitate those types of deals, says Nick Loper, host of the Side Hustle Show, a podcast. If you're looking for a side gig, answer these questions. What level of work best suits you? Consider your income goals as well as how much time you want to commit. There is definitely a wide range of options depending on what sort of time and ability and expertise you have, said Keith Spencer, a career expert with Flex Jobs. Do you want a low-stress job for extra retirement income? If so, you might be well-suited to on-demand gig work that you find through an app, I think DoorDash for grocery shopping, or Rover for dog walking. For Richard Feit, 75, a retired prosthetist and former race car driver, that meant work as a Lyft driver in Orlando. The beauty of the gig economy is that you set your own activity times, said Feit. I'll do a couple hundred miles and still come home for lunch and a nap, he said. Want to keep using the skills you honed in your career? Consulting and professional coaching are the most lucrative types of freelance work, but may be stressful and time-consuming. Spencer says these roles, often remote, typically have some experience overlap that allows you to transfer skills you already have. Examples include virtual assistant, tutor, or customer service representatives. Have you set yourself up for success? Most gig work requires some planning. That might mean building a profile on an app or creating a new resume that showcases the skills matching the work you're looking for now. In addition to apps, you may find positions listed on traditional job boards or on niche sites such as FlexJobs or retiree-specific sites like Retired Brains. Spencer suggests checking out the list of certified age-friendly employers from the Age Friendly Institute. Do you have a plan for the financial impact? Beyond the extra cash in your pocket, gig work has some financial ramifications. Ask your advisor about potential consequences for your Social Security strategy or Medicare premiums. One of the biggest mistakes people make is failing to account for estimated taxes, Loper says. While many jobs don't withhold taxes, they're going to send you a 1099, so it's going to be reported. Now let's look at the cholesterol test you didn't know you needed. For decades, the standard lipid panel has focused on LDL-C, or bad cholesterol, as the measure for assessing heart disease risk. But it doesn't tell the whole story. Enter the ApoB test, a simple blood test that provides more accurate pictures of cholesterol-related risk. The ApoB test doesn't just measure the weight of cholesterol. It counts the number of harmful particles that damage arteries and can cause heart disease, says Anne-Marie Navarre, MD, an expert in health disease prevention at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. Why does this matter? LDL and VLDL particles can get trapped in your arteries, leading to heart disease, and traditional cholesterol tests often underestimate this risk in some people. This is especially critical if you are overweight or have diabetes or high triglycerides. The good news? If you're ApoB, that's A-P, capital A, little p, little o, big B, level is high, it can often be lowered with simple lifestyle changes. When needed, medications are highly effective. Navarre's advice? Ask for the ApoB test. It's an addition to your cholesterol screening, and you don't need to fast. Move on and eat better. Exercise and a balanced diet help reduce ApoB levels and supports overall health. Create a plan with your doctor. A statin or other medication may be part of your care plan. What's the cost? Private insurance plans and sometimes Medicare may cover the ApoB test. If not, it often costs less than $75. This article was by Barbara Hannah Gufferman, host of the Age Better podcast and author of Love Your Age. Now, to finish out our time in AARP The Bulletin, under 99 Great Ways to Save on Walking and Hiking Shoes. Don't pay full price. Retailers have such frequent sales that you should never pay full price. Consider buying a basic running shoe to walk in if cheaper, because they offer many of the same benefits to walkers as more expensive shoes. And you don't need the newest model. A lot of walking shoe stores or running shoe stores will have older shoes that are 50% off or even further discounted, says Kaylee Ray, a running biomechanist, certified physiologist, and reviewer at Treadmill Review Guru. So you're getting the same quality shoe for much less. Now I'll give you the headlines and then we'll cover as much of the rest as I can. Be loyal. Stack your deals, track the price of your favorite shoes, and rotate your shoes. So be loyal. Signing up for manufacturer and retail newsletters and downloading their apps are great ways to get intel on upcoming sales and access to exclusive coupons. Adidas, Foot Locker, and Skechers, among others, also have loyalty programs that let you earn points for purchases, which you can use to get discounts on future buys. And rotate your shoes. If you see a great deal on shoes, maybe on a big discount day like Black Friday or Amazon Prime, consider buying two similar pairs. Then you can rotate between them, giving them the foam a chance to decompress between uses. That midsole foam is going to have air mixed into the foam, and when you're walking on it, it's compressing, forcing the air out. The more time the shoe has to rest, the better it will serve you. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.